This is Todd Sommerfeld. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS in Crookston, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you the update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson. Two meetings were held yesterday to inform the public about regulatory authority on and around the White Earth Reservation in northwestern Minnesota. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has that story.
Minnesota Department of Agriculture Division Director for Pesticides and Fertilizer Josh Stamper spoke during the meeting outlining that tribes are independent nations that can impose regulations as or more restrictive than the federal government.
Tribes are sovereign nations and they have the right to self-determination. They are a sovereign government. They answer directly to the U.S. government and not necessarily the state. One of the things that we've talked about at the meeting today was that the tribe does have EPA delegated authority to enforce federal laws regarding pesticides, and then also they have the ability to impose stricter water quality standards than maybe necessarily that the EPA would choose to enforce.
Stamper says it's important for farmers to communicate with the tribe.
Communication is really the first step in diplomacy, and I think it's really important that if there are folks who have questions about the regulations that are being imposed, reach out. There's grower groups that are coalescing around some of these issues, and the need to have clear, transparent communications with the tribes about what their expectations are for the enforcement of rules and regulations, but then also figuring out how agriculture can be part of the solution.
Nolan Thompson, Leighton and Tatarin attorney Courtney Carlson represents Dave Vipond in a court case brought by the tribal government. She says their case argues that tribal governments do not have jurisdiction over the activities of non-tribal member landowners on the reservation.
Dave got a permit from Minnesota DNR to install a high-capacity pump to irrigate his farmland. His farmland is within the boundaries of the White Earth Reservation. The White Earth Band passed an ordinance last spring regulating ground and surface water usage, and they then said that Dave needed to get a permit from them in order to install his pump. And because Dave did not pull that permit and disputes that they have the ability to regulate him in that way, they have now brought a lawsuit against him in tribal court to enforce that.
There are some exceptions, but those do not apply in this case, according to Carlson.
The United States Supreme Court case, Montana versus United States, in 1981, set forth a general principle that tribes do not have jurisdiction over non-members unless there is a consensual relationship between the non-member and the tribe. You enter into a contract of some kind, or there is a detrimental impact to the safety, health, or welfare of the tribe. And that's been expanded in later case law to mean it has to be a catastrophic impact to the tribe's well-being and not just any harm.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
The defendant in that case, Minoman farmer Dave Vipond, says he has followed Minnesota's state regulations in the past.
The tribe claims they have the authority to regulate me, but I have no voice in tribal government. So I've got people that are going to take me to court, which they are now. I've got no voice in their government at all. So it's regulation without representation.
Well, now that a U.S. District Court of Appeals has overturned EPA's ban on chlorpyrifos, NDSU entomologist Mark Botell says individual state departments of agriculture will have final regulatory approval.
People need to realize that it is state-specific, so check with your respective state registration system or your Department of Agriculture to make sure the product you want to use is labeled.
Minnesota's chlorpyrifos label does come with best management practice documentation requirements.
And I would just urge applicators and producers to adhere to those, because we want to make sure we use the products properly so we can maintain the registration for a long time. The Minnesota Department of Agriculture is going to reassess or kind of assess how 2024 went. And I guess that will come in December, that they're going to be looking at how things went and determining how to go forward or if to go forward with it. So using it properly is going to be really important too, as it always is.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Traders and market analysts are not expecting Friday's USDA supply and demand report to contain much excitement. S&W trading market analyst Andy Schisler expects a fairly quiet report.
Friday, I'm not sure what they'll do there. I mean, really, maybe we don't see any real big changes this time. Like, we're ahead on corn exports. The ethanol grind seems to be pretty good. The feed seems to be pretty good. On soybeans, we're behind on exports, but not dramatically so. The USDA had us penciled in to be lower on exports, and we are.
And soybean demand or use is up.
Crush margin, and the crush has kind of set records pretty much every month since last fall, so we're ahead there. Something around 300 in the carryout, which I believe is too high. I think it's lower than that. And I think that shows up later, probably in the spreads and some of the flat price movement, you know, this summer. Price shouldn't be a big market mover. They really should increase the crush, but they probably won't.
Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines also expecting a quiet supply-demand report.
Yep, another crop report coming out on Friday. Don't expect a whole lot on U.S. ending stocks. Might see some little tweaks on the demand side. You know, I think more than anything, you know, everybody's going to be paying close attention to South American production numbers, see if Brazil continues to go down and Argentina, you know, if it's actually coming down a little bit or steady.
Bolt marketing analyst Dwayne Bussey will be watching South American production in Friday's WASD report.
You know, all eyes are going to be on the Brazil soybean production there. Trade estimates mostly are below where USDA is at. It's just they'll probably drop it, but how much are they going to drop it? And I watch things like the basis in Brazil, which is improving down there, meaning that maybe the crop isn't as big as we thought, but it's still going to be big enough. Let's not get too bold up here.
The wildfires continue to burn in the Texas Panhandle. Hill County Extension Agent Andy Holloway is out assessing damage.
The loss is devastating and very substantial. I just came off of Marshall Drive about 15 or 20 miles east of town. There's rows of dead cattle, and it's hard for me to say yet specific numbers, but I do know that in my communications with some of the ranchers that the death loss is significant.
The losses are continuing to mount for those ranchers.
The value of these cattle is record highs. And so when just a 500-pound calf dies right now, that's over a $1,500 loss for that one calf. And that doesn't count his mother. And that's the thing. The insurance is a help, but my goodness, with the situation we're in as it regards the market, it's not near enough money to replace what they've lost.
And this is the largest wildfire in Texas history. Vive Crop Protection has a new product for Cercospora leaf spot. Chief Technology Officer Doug Bauman says trials were conducted in multiple states last year for Phobos FC fungicide. It's the evolution of a chemistry to provide enhanced protection against Cercospora leaf spot.
The original inventors did a great job with prothioconazole, but then as is their want, they've moved on to other mixtures. So Vive comes into the picture, and what we've done is use our allosperce nanotechnology to make the particles of active ingredient significantly smaller compared to the industry standard, and also the way the spray deposit dries on the leaves, specifically compared to Proline, is much better, and giving us better bioavailability, faster activity, and better recoverable sugar at the end.
Vive Crop Protection Northern Technical Sales Agronomist Dave Reif says trials offered a direct comparison between Phobos FC and Proline.
In our testing, we saw basically a very significant difference in control of Cercospora with Phobos FC compared to Proline. I mean, it was enough to basically visually see it from the field edge, and that's really cool when you can see a visual difference like that.
That's Vive Crop Protection Northern Technical Sales Agronomist Dave Reif. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Recent WTO meetings were unable to reach a conclusion on agriculture and trade incentives. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has more.
Efforts to reach an agreement on new trade policy at the World Trade Organization meetings in Abu Dhabi were staunchly opposed and ultimately defeated thanks in part to a public stockholding policy that was promoted by India. U.S. Dairy Export Council Executive Vice President of Policy Development and Strategy Jaime Castaneda says that this is all a part of India's plan to keep a new trade agreement from being signed.
India actually doesn't want to open their market. That's number one. In their own, unfortunately, perspective, they see the protection of their farmers as something actually good. They always call that they have more than, you know, 200 million farmers, and many of them very subsistent farmers. And what they don't realize is that with greater trade actually comes greater amount of jobs and greater amount of consumption, and that actually benefits their own farmers.
Failure to reach a trade agreement could have tremendous impact on a dairy industry that has come to rely upon exports.
The reality is that we depend on trade. Almost now, last 2-3 years, actually, we reached to 18% of total milk solids being exported. That is a huge, significant amount. And if we look at the amount of cheese coming into production in the next 3 years in the United States, that even tells you how dire the situation is going to be, that we need to export, we need to create more market. And it's very unfortunate that whether it's this administration or any other administration, you don't see that need for opening this new market. I mean, we still have a strong competitive disadvantage. When you talk with New Zealand, Australia, Europe, in many countries in which they have trade agreements and we don't.
That was U.S. Dairy Export Council Executive Vice President of Policy Development and Strategy, Jaime Castaneda. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Checking markets before we leave you this morning. We are 4 lower across the wheat complex. Chicago May wheat is down 4, Kansas City down 6, Minneapolis down 4. May corn down a quarter penny, July corn's down a quarter penny, December corn down a quarter penny. And May soybeans, penny and 3/4 lower. August is down 1 1/4, November soybeans down a penny. Canola is $3.80 a metric ton higher. April live cattle, $1.32 higher. June's up 95, August up 85. March feeder cattle, 75 higher. April's up $1.42 in May, 92 cents higher. April hogs down $1.10. We've got on the farm calendar, the NDSU sugar beet planter test stand schedule moves to the Steve Adams Shop in East Grand Forks for today and tomorrow. North Dakota Winter Show kicks off today in Valley City. Have a great day, everyone. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.